Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We're glad that you all could be with us. Also, those joining us through our online affiliates around the world, glad you all could be with us as well. No matter what past trauma you might have gone through or what situation you may have faced, our next guest has written a book that reminds us not only what we can do to be able to move forward in life, but how we can be able to not allow what we've gone through to define us, but also the lessons that we can be able to learn, things that we can be able to share with others as well. I'm excited to welcome Dr. Randall Bell to our program today. Dr. Bell's newest book is called Post-Traumatic Thriving, The Art, Science, and Stories of Resilience. In the book, Dr. Bell shares not only his own personal journey, but also that of others he's been able to meet, some great lessons that I think all of us can appreciate, and of course, what we can be able to use to be able to not only help ourselves, but also to learn from others as well. Dr. Bell, really appreciate you stopping by the program.
Cyrus, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So a lot for us to talk about. I want to first say this. When I was prepping for this segment after I started reading the book, I had not been familiar with your previous work before. But what I thought was so interesting was this is something you devoted a lot of your life and attention to. What has it been like for you to see how what you've learned about trauma, Dr. Bell, has been able to benefit so many people?
Well, it's just been an incredible journey. I started working on this book 10 years ago, and I thought I had it done several times, and then I kept learning more. The book is packed with wisdom, and I got to say, I can't take credit for it. It's the people I met behind the statistics of the disasters that I work on that, shared with me the wisdom of thriving after trauma. So it's been really quite a remarkable journey that I kept thinking, like I say, I had it all figured out and found out that there was more to do, and I didn't come out with the book till I had it right.
Yeah. The title in itself, I think, is thought-provoking, and I think should be hopeful to people, post-traumatic thriving. I think a lot of times people feel as though once you have gone through trauma that your life cannot get better or that you can't be better. You definitely show that does not have to be the case. How inspiring has that been for your audience that you've been discussing the book with?
It's been terrific. I mean, the response has been off the chart. That is a myth. A lot of people think when something bad happens, a death or a divorce or a disease or, you know, a lot of these words seem to start with a D somehow. and I had COVID, by the way, so pardon the cough. That's not the end. And the book makes a point both in the science and the academic literature. They're woven stories of people, real people. They're all my friends, everyone in the book, people who have suffered really knockout blows through life, who have bounced back and have done something amazing. And they all tell me they never would have done something amazing if it wasn't for the trauma that kind of woke them up. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise sometimes.
Such a great point. And you're right about the D's. One of the D's that you discuss in the book that I've gone through and dealt with myself, Dr. Bell, is depression. I mean, that's something that I think a lot of people, especially after the past year, have felt, have experienced, may still find themselves in. But what you wrote in the book I think is so fascinating. I actually want to read this as the first passage that I want to share from the book. It's on page 118. And you said this in the book, Dr. Bell, then we can talk about it. Depression can just shut us down if we rearrange the word depression, we get I pressed on. Depression is a necessary point on the journey, but it is never meant to be our final destination. It is all right to visit here for a while, but eventually we need to push forward. Albert Einstein said life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, we must keep moving. I love that, being able to rearrange the letters and to think about that message of pressing on. How has that benefited you to think about that no matter what you've gone through, the important thing is to keep going to get through it?
Yeah, that's a common denominator with all post-traumatic thrivers is that they just keep going. But it's important to really process each step. I mean, usually trauma starts with shock, and you really want to kind of re-experience that and process that and think about that. And then you get into denial and anger and bargaining, and then ultimately we land on depression. And the thing about depression is it's completely normal. We shouldn't feel guilty or bad or inferior or anything negative about being depressed. It's a completely normal part of the process. We just don't want to get stuck there. And as I said there in the book, that's the point, is you want to move on to the next thing, and that's to sit in the fire and kind of really confront the issues. And that whole concept of accepting this process is what brings healing.
Speaking of healing, a group of individuals that you share in the book, and I think our audience will find this interesting, Dr. Bell, that you found this in prison with some convicted individuals. You talk about your introduction to meditation. What was that like for you to reflect on that, and how even in this place of seemingly, you know, confinement and being able to be locked down, these people had found a way to be able to feel freer?
Yeah, it was an incredible journey, because I volunteer at San Quentin Prison here in California, and that's a tough place. That's where California's death row is. The first time I ever meditated in my life, I was sitting between two convicted murderers, and they had healed. They had childhood trauma. A lot of people that end up in prison and jail, where I also volunteer, had childhood trauma, and then that manifested in a crime that they committed later. And the meditation changed these men from a hard, you know, attitude to the most gentleman you'd ever want to meet. And they'd taken full responsibility for their crimes and the damage they had done. And they had told me that the rest of their life might be in prison, but it's going to be a good and honorable life. And the keystone of that was meditation and breathing exercises. There's at least 20 studies out of Harvard alone on the powerful effects of meditation and breathing exercises. It has a real profound effect on our brain's nervous system. So that was a big wake-up moment for me to learn that lesson.
Another thing that you talk about and you address that, you know, it can be for many a difficult thing. And I have had friends of mine, Dr. Bell, who, as someone who grew up with faith being such a big part of my life, I had a friend of mine who was unfortunately sexually abused by her father. So looking at God as a father was something that she had a lot of trouble with, but she could look at him as a friend. You talk about in the book that there may be reasons why people have a problem or a conflict with thinking about religion or spirituality or even thinking about faith. But the way that you addressed that in the book, I think, was so interesting. What was that like for you to see how even these traumatic experiences could even affect the way that they looked at their relationship with God or the possibility of having a relationship with God?
Yeah, but the topic of spirituality and religion is a ticklish subject, because for some people it's a healthy, you know, dynamic, and some people have been in a bad religion. And the thing about religion, there are bad religions, but there are also good religions that can be healthy. And the thing you mentioned, you know, reference to God as the father, you know, everybody that's been through a trauma is usually has to deal with certain triggers, things that, you know, would not necessarily, you know, be of concern to everyone else, but might trigger, you know, them specifically. And it's important to identify those triggers, whether it's that or anything else, so that as we work through and heal, those triggers can kind of harmlessly pass through our minds. But I try to be very respectful. I'm personally a believer, but I have a lot of friends and family that are atheists or agnostic, and I respect that. I'm partially agnostic because that simply means we have questions, and I've got a lot of questions. So yeah. I tack carefully so everyone feels welcome, whether you're wherever you are on the spiritual spectrum or not where you are on the spectrum. But ultimately, the science shows that having some spiritual mode in our lives is part of the healing process.
it's not just your and I appreciate you saying that. I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, though, because it brought up a thing that I had marked in the book. And again, for those who are just tuning in, is on the radio side of online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome Dr. Randall Bell to our program today. Dr. Bell is the author of the new book, Post-Traumatic Thriving, The Art, Science, and Stories of Resilience. The book's actually on sale right now. There are friends at Amazon.com. You guys can actually get the Kindle edition for only $1. I want to talk about what you said about abuse, because it's interesting, and it reminded me of what you wrote, and I want to actually read this, because I think it says so much about how victims of abuse may feel and what we can learn from that. You say this on page 154, victims of sexual or child abuse need to be very aware of the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is a result of doing something wrong, and victims of sexual or child abuse did absolutely nothing wrong. Shame is very different. It means we are ashamed of what someone else did. Victims of child abuse have done nothing wrong. Any suggestion otherwise is nonsense. But then you say this, and I think it's so important. Victims of abuse must know that a single moment of hate can devastate a lifetime. However, a moment of love can break lifetime barriers. I wanted to bring that up because we see in the book, Dr. Bell, not only your own experiences and lessons, but also that of others. What was that like for you to be able to share a bit of their story and how, you know, their being able to learn and grow and share impacted their lives?
Well, Cyrus, that was one of the moments where I, you know, that wisdom, those words of wisdom came from inmates in prison. I learned the concept of guilt and shame from inmates, again, in San Quentin. What had happened is I had written a book. I was in New York, you know, doing a TV spot on it, and I got an email from a wealth management organization in Beverly Hills asking me to speak, and they had seen the TV segment, and I said, sure. And then I immediately got another email from a homeless shelter in Skid Row in L.A., which is a very bleak place, asking me to speak to the kids because they needed to hear the message, and I immediately sent an email back saying I would be happy to speak to the kids. So I was in prison, and I asked for their advice. I said, I've never been homeless, and I want to deliver a good message to these kids. What should I say? And the inmates taught me about this concept of guilt versus shame. Shame is something that happened to us, but we have no responsibility. We did nothing wrong. We're not guilty of anything. And guilt is when we did something wrong. And it's really critically important to know the difference. And it was a profound awakening for me personally, and I'm more than happy to share that. I mean, the biggest problem, and this is my own personal opinion, but the biggest problem on planet Earth is unresolved trauma. The addictions and the crime and the stuff you hear about is unresolved trauma, particularly childhood trauma. So I've really kind of dedicated the rest of my life to you know, sharing these experiences and sharing this this wisdom, which I've learned from others, to try and, you know, create a little bit of healing. We need it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said the word share there because, yes, you mentioned others shared with you, even from an unlikely place, there in prison, and you then put the onus on us, Dr. Bell, to do the same thing. And I think that is the other thing that you talk about in the book on page 303. You write this under the subheading, Helping a Child Through Trauma. You write, as we heal, thrive, and foster gratitude for our progress, we take on the responsibility to break the cycle and pass our knowledge down to future generations. In our roles as parents, teachers, therapists, and community leaders, we must understand the healing process for ourselves and the children under our care. So do you feel like that is just a part now of what all of us must do? You talked about you've dedicated yourself to this, but is this something that you believe is all of our responsibility to do?
I think so. I mean, one thing I'm very passionate about is that kids are innocent, and they should be – They should enjoy their childhoods. You know, the idea of child abuse is so important because it causes so much long-term damage, or it can. It can be healed, but untreated, it can be, you know, it can be a mess. And I'm passionate. I just became a grandfather 5 months ago. And I'm even more charged up on this concept that, you know, children deserve to be treated, you know, kindly and respectfully, and hands off the kids. You know, consenting adults can do whatever they want to do. That doesn't bother me at all. But the kids should be protected by society. And again, the vast majority of the problems that we see in the world can be traced back to unresolved childhood trauma. And that's why I'm so passionate about getting the word out about this research, because this kind of trauma can be healed.
What do you think is the reason why? You are passionate about this. It's very obvious, not only, of course, in a conversation like this, but also in the – but why do you think there are not more people who are focusing, Dr. Bale, on the hope and possibilities instead of the damage and the doom of it?
Well, you know, some people, unfortunately, get their kicks by, you know, being mean and regurgitating, problems, and anger itself can be very, very addictive. And, you know, it creates a body chemistry that we can literally, it can be as addictive as any drug out there. I don't want to get political. I really don't. But, you know, the politics in our country have been so polarized, where everybody's, you know, trying to outdo the other in terms of extremes. And extremes are not, being polarized is not going to solve any problems. We got to heal. We've been through a trauma as in the world and the country with this COVID thing. And we got to kind of get off the extremes, look at things that really help us heal. Stop getting our kicks by being mean and insulting the people that believe or see the world differently than we do, and try and have better conversations, open conversations. And that's what I think is the path going forward in terms of trying to, you know, get to a better place.
Yeah. What is your hope when people finish this book or hear a conversation like this about it? What is your hope that they will realize is possible for them?
In a single word, it's healing. It's all about healing. I call it age, at least 66% of us have been through a trauma. And as we get older, it's inevitable we are all going to suffer a trauma. And we go to school and we're never taught how to process that trauma properly. A lot of people, want to heal, but they don't know how. And they're never taught that in school. This is kind of a guidebook for going through the steps. There's 15 steps of healing. And the thing is, it's kind of like a rinse and repeat cycle. Sometimes, you know, I wrote the book and I had childhood trauma. I had open heart surgery when I was 11. And sometimes I go to a place where I'm kind of angry about it or depressed about it. That's totally okay. It's rinse and repeat. But ultimately, we want to land in those healthy areas of thriving and using that energy from the trauma to do something, you know, really beneficial. And that's the basic message of the book.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it is a powerful read, and I think it's going to be a great resource, Dr. Bale, and I'm so glad we had a chance to discuss just a bit of it here. Again, everyone, Dr. Randall Bale has been our guest. The book is Post-Traumatic Thriving, The Art, Science, and Stories of Resilience. As I mentioned earlier, it is available through our friends at Amazon.com. You can get the Kindle edition for only $1. You can also get the print edition. I have both of them, actually, Dr. Bale, because the print edition is quicker for me to read, but I couldn't wait for it to get here, so I started with the Kindle edition first. But how can our audience stay connected with you?
Well, thanks. I'm at drbell.com, just drbell.com. I love hearing from people. I've heard from people that said they've read the book 3 times because every time they read it, they heal a little bit better, a little bit more. And I'd love to hear from everyone at drbell.com.
All right. Dr. Bale, congratulations to you again. Keep up the amazing work and helping with healing, and looking forward to our next chat together.
Same here. Thank you so much, Cyrus. I really appreciate it.
more than welcome. And we thank our mutual friend Kim Wise for helping us to set up this conversation for us today. And we thank you, our audience, for tuning in, both on the radio side of Mississippi and online around the world, to this edition of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.